Okay, today we're starting the third parak of Shvuah, back to Inyanei Shvuot. At the bottom of Yutet Amabet, we're going to start right there. Shvuot Shtayin Shein Arba. So now the Mishnah, just like in the second parak, it started repeating Yidiyat HaTumah Shtayin Shein Arba and explain them. Now we're going to get into the details of what are Shvuot Shtayin Shein Arba. Shvuah she'ochal v'shelo'ochal. She'achalti v'shelo'achalti. Remember we had this lahara or lehetiv, it says on the pasuk. So it's o nefesh ki tishava levatebus vatayim. You express with your lips lahara o lehetiv. Right, to do bad or to do good. We explain lahara o lehetiv is not to do bad and to do good. It means either to yes do something or to not do something. Okay, lahara would be not to do it and lehetiv is yes to do it. And then we said, so that's right, to do something or to not, that's she'ochal v'shelo'ochal in the future. And then the arba are that we learned at the additional two, she'achalti v'shelo'achalti, that I ate or that I didn't eat. Shvua she'lo'ochal v'achal, v'achal kol shehu chayav. If you take a shvua, this is divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, if you take a shvua, then I'm not going to eat. And then the question is, do you need a certain shear of eating? Just like if, you know, it's forbidden to eat on Yom Kippur, so you need a certain shear in order to be chayav. So if you swear I'm not going to eat, and then you eat any little bit, Rabbi Akiva says you're chayav. Amrula le Rabbi Akiva, hecha matzino bochel koshu shu chayav, shezeh chayav. Where do we see that somebody who eats a koshu is chayav, that we're going to now tell this person he's going to be chayav? And this doesn't make any sense. We always have a shear of achila. Amar lahem Rabbi Akiva, v'chihecha matzinu b'medaberim b'vi korban. Sheze medaberim b'vi korban. Where else do you... This is already a big exception to the rule, this whole Shavuot thing. Where else do you see that you speak, you say something, and that's mechayev your korban? Only by Shavuot. So if that's the case, then if this guy is medaberim b'vi korban, then also he could be medaber. And what's the issue here with the... You could view it as they're not so connected. In other words, on the one hand, there's a chiddush that you bring a korban. So therefore, there's also a chiddush that you have to bring it out of kol shehu. But the point is also that if you are speaking and that's mechayev you a korban for what are you doing? You're basically not keeping to your word. So that means that if you say, I'm not going to eat, and then you eat a little something, you've already canceled out your word that's mechayev you a korban, and therefore you're also chayev even if it's a kol shehu. Okay, the Gemara starts off and says, first, they're going to challenge this lashon of she'ochal. This is going to be a little strange to you, okay? But shvua she'ochal sounds like saying, I swear I'm going to eat something, right? That's the pshat. So the Gemara is going to question that, though, and say, lememra de she'ochal achil namashma. When I say shvua she'ochal, it means I'm going to eat. Uriminhi, don't we have a case where someone says shvua she'ochal, where what he really means is, I'm not going to eat. Okay, and that's why he's questioning. They're questioning our mission, saying our mission seems to imply shvua she'ochal means shvua that I will eat. That's how we explained it, right? Lehetiv. But in this case, we're going to say that in this it says shvua lo ochalach, shvua she'ochalach, lo shvua she'lo ochalach, asur. Okay, all these cases it's forbidden to eat. Okay, what are the three lashonot? So shvua, I swear I'm not going to eat. Lo ochalach, that's easy. Shvua she'ochalach, that means I swear. Okay, you say I swear, then you say she'ochalach, that I'm going to eat, which they interpret as meaning, you really mean, I swear I'm not going to eat. And lo shvua, this is the most complicated one, lo shvua she'lo ochalach. I'm not taking a shvua on the fact that I'm not going to eat, which means I am taking a shvua on the fact if I do eat. In other words, meaning, like this, it'll be forbidden to me in a shvua if I eat. That's how they're explaining that. So in all three cases, it's forbidden to eat. So how do we explain that in line with our Mishnah? This seems to say shvua she'ochalach means shvua I won't eat. And in our Mishnah, it says I will eat. So Amar Abaye la'olam de'achil namashma. It really means shvua she'ochalach means I will eat. But lo kashya, so what? How do we explain the braita? Kam b'misarvin bo le'echol, kam b'she'im misarvin bo le'echol. One is a case where there's no background here of someone pushing him to eat in his house. It's just a regular case. And the guy says, I swear I'm going to eat something. So, okay. So, no problem. That means I swear I'm going to eat. But in the Braita, when it said, I swear that I'll eat, and it really meant that I won't eat, It was a case where somebody kept saying, come eat in my house, come eat in my house. He said, no, I don't want to eat, I don't want to eat, I don't want to eat. The guy keeps pushing him. He finally says, I swear I'm going to eat in your house, which really means he's being sarcastic. And he's saying, I swear I'm not going to eat in your house. So therefore, it means the opposite of what it sounds like it means. So now he explains it. Matznitin, our mission is, b'she'im esarvim bolechol. No one's trying to force him to eat. And his shvua comes from somewhere else. And b'raita b'besarvim bolechol. V'ka'amar, and what he's saying is, lo achil nevelo achina. He says first, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat. T'chi kamishtaba, and when he finally swears, hachi kamar, this is what he means to say. Shvua shelo achal, what he really means to say is, I swear I'm not going to eat. That's the first interpretation. So the braita is, they're pushing him to eat, and that's why he says it. What he really means is the opposite of what he says. And our Mishnah means the pshat, which is, I swear I'm going to eat. But Rav Ashi has a different explanation. Rav Ashi Amar, read in the Braita, okay, change the wording of the Braita. What it really means is not Shvua She'ochal, Tnei Shvua She'i Ochalach. Okay, it means Shvua, it's not Shvua She'ochal, change the words, it's She'i Ochalach. Okay, not Shvua She'ochalach, but Shvua She'i Ochal. No, Shvua She'ochal for sure means like our Mishnah, you're going to eat. But Shvua She'i Ochal, E means Ein, like Efshar, it's not Efshar. Okay, so I shvush iochalach. So the Gemara says, well, then what's the chiddush? Hachi my lememra. If you say shvush iochal, obviously you mean I'm not going to eat. So why does the Braita need to tell us if you say shvush alochal, then you eat, it's forbidden? So they say because ma'u detema lishne di itkelele kamashmalan. You might have thought she iochalach. People might have thought he really meant to say sheochalach, but it came out as she iochalach, right? Often, I know this happens to me when I'm teaching, I'll say something a little wrong because you're speaking so fast and then just things come out the way you didn't really mean to say them. So, iochalach, maybe he really meant to say she'ochalach. And therefore, they're coming to teach you, no. If you said the words iochalach, we're assuming you meant that you didn't. You meant really shani lochalach. Okay? And it's not just a slip of the tongue. Now, there's a big debate here, which is an interesting one, about why don't we just ask him what he meant? Okay, or her, what she meant when she said it. So there's a debate a little bit about this. Some people say, obviously, we check with them. And what we're talking about here is a case where the person doesn't remember anymore what they said and what they meant. Okay, in other words, obviously, if the person clarifies their speech and explains to you what they actually meant, then we go by, if the person says really it was a slip of the tongue, then we treat it as shvur she'ochalach. But others say, no, we go by what you said and it doesn't really matter what your intentions were. So that's an interesting debate in and of itself about how we view, do we check with the person or maybe there's like not such a level of trust there. Maybe we have to have the system just kind of be kovea, this is what we do. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, now we're moving on to something else. Miftah shvua, isar shvua. Okay, if you use the words miftah, okay, you say miftah, miftah ki kar ze alai, Rashi says. Okay, if you say miftah ki kar ze alai, it's like he said, I swear that I'm not going to eat it. Okay, so miftah is saying, I am expressing, right, that I'm not going to do something. By the way, these lishonot, miftah and isur, if we see them every year in Kol Nidre, right? Kol Nidre v'yasare, that's isar, right? Ubituye, right? Things were mivate, that we're expressing. So miftah is a lashon of shvua, and isar is a lashon of shvua. Okay? So now the braita, though, is going to get very complicated. We're going to have two different interpretations of what the braita means. So right now, it sounds very simple. Miftah is a lashon of a shvua, and an isar is a lashon of a shvua. But now the Gemara the Braita continues and says, "Isur isar, imata omer isar shvua chayav, v'imlav patur." So now he says this isur of isar. Okay, it's a little bit of a play on words. The forbidden nature of an isar. It depends. If you say that isar is shvua, then you're chayav. You're chayav. A korban ol inad. What are we talking about chayav now? A korban ola v'yored. V'im lav, and if you don't say the isar is a shvua, then patur. Then you don't have to bring a korban ola v'yored. Okay, what is this talking about at all? Imata omer isar shvuah. What does the Braita mean when it says imata omer isar shvuah? Vaha amarta isar shvuah. The Braita started and said miftah shvuah and isar shvuah. And then it continued to say, well, if you say isar is a shvuah, then you're chayav, and if you don't, then it's patur. So the Braita makes no sense because the Braita just said isar is a shvuah. Right, himself. Exactly. It sounds like it's questioning itself, but that doesn't make any sense. It would question itself. It would make sense if in the end it concluded like a Talmud Lomar, therefore it says this and that means that, but it doesn't do that. So it doesn't make any sense. The Braita wouldn't be structured that way. So therefore, we're going to have two different interpretations, Abai and Ratha. Amar Abai, hachi ka'amar, mivta shvua, isar mitpas bishvua. Okay, now we're going to learn that isar is not actually a shvua. Isar is when you, what's called, your matpis something to a shvua. What does that mean? That you say, you swore something before, and then you say, I swear I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, and then you say, this loaf of bread is like that one. Okay, we saw this in Hareini Nazir. And then someone says, oh, that guy's a Nazir. And then he says, aha, I'll be a Nazir just like him. Okay, that's like last piece b'neder, because Nazir is a neder. We're going to see maybe there's a difference between matpis v'shvua and matpis b'neder. Okay, maybe I should also just give some background before we even go on about shvua and neder. Okay, what's the difference between a shvua and a neder? So first of all, halachically, Shvua, if you're over on your Shvua, you have to bring Korban Olevi Yored. If you don't do your Neder, you take a vow and you don't keep to it, there's no Korban Olevi Yored, right? What do? You get Malko for it. It's a Lo Yachel Dvaro. Okay? Lo Yachel Dvaro actually appears in the Pasuk by Neder and Shvua. Well, we'll talk about that later. But basically, there's going to be a Lotase on the Neder. It's just like a regular malkot, and on a shvuah you're going to have to also bring this korban olevi yored. That's number one. Number two, what's the difference? The main difference is how you express them. A shvuah is to say, it's forbidden to me, I will not eat something. That's what we call an isur gavra. It's on the person himself or herself. An isur, a neder is an isur chafza. You say, this kikar is forbidden to me. Okay, hare alai. Right, Arealai, you say ke korban or ke, if you remember all those lishonot of neder, this is to me like a korban, it's forbidden to me to eat. Okay, this kikar. So one is focusing on the kikar and one is focusing on yourself. Obviously, they're both relating to yourself. You can't eat this, but it's a different lashon. So now we're going to say like this. So what he meant to say, the Braita, was mivta shvua, okay, meaning mivta is a shvua. And Isar, the Lashon of Isar, which we're going to see soon in a minute, where it comes up in the Pesukim, when the Pesukim talk about an Isar, what do they mean? That means you're matpis b'shvua. It's not a direct shvua. It's saying you connect, you say, this kikar is forbidden to me like the one that I took a shvua. And then they want to know, Isur Isar, imata omer mitpas b'shvua kemotzi shvua mipiv dame chayav, vim lav patur. So if an Isar is mitpis b'shvua, well, then it depends what you hold about matpis b'shvua. Is it like expressing the shvua yourself, in which case you're going to be chayav the korban? Or if you don't view it that way, then you view it as a different level, and then you're no longer chayav a korban. Is hatpasat shvua equal to shvua in the sense that we're now going to be chayav a korban or levi yored on that also, because it's just like a shvua, it has the same status? Or if you say it doesn't have the same status as a shvua, then you're going to say you're patur. Okay? So that's how he understands the Braita. Umimai demivta shvua. Now the Gemara is going to question this, though, and say, why would you say that isar means matpis b'shvua? So now they're going to say like this. It doesn't make any sense to say that. Where do we get, and they're starting from the mivta. Mimai demivta shvua. How do we know that mivta is a shvua? Dichtiv, here are the psukim. O nefesh kiti shava levate b'sfatayim. There you have bitoy sfatayim, right? If you're nishba to express in words, from there we learn that mivta is a shvua. Isar nami also connects in the pasuk directly to a shvua. Dichtiv kol neder v'chol shvuat isar. They call a shvua isar. So that must mean, if you're going to say that Levatei b'sfat kiti shavah Levatei b'sfatayim means Mivta is a Shvua, then Kol Shvuat Isar would imply that what? That Isar is a Shvua also. So therefore, Elamimai de Isar mitpas b'shvuahu. So then where do we get that Isar is a mitpas b'shvua? So what do they answer? Dichtiv asra isar al nafsha b'shvua. Okay, what's this? You can read the whole pasuk. It's in Bamidbar Lamed. It's about the woman who takes a neder or a shvua, right? So im beit isha nidara, if she takes a neder when she's in her husband's house. Remember the woman, if she's in the husband's house and the husband can cancel her neder, she's in her father's house, the father can cancel the neder. O asra isar al nafsha b'shvua. So what do you see here? She's asra isar al nafsha bishvuah. Bishvuah seems to imply what? That she's matpis. That she did an isar bishvuah on a shvuah. So they're going to suggest that maybe that's how you get the isar as a shvuah. But they say that also doesn't work because mivtanami haktiv. Here's another pasuk. Okay, this is our pasuk about a shvuah, about the where we got the shtayim shein arba. O nefesh kiti vashishava levatei b'sfatayim lehara o lehetiv. Here comes the important part. Lechol asher yivatei ha'adam b'shvuah. There you also have bitoy and b'shvuah, which sounds like bitoy could also be matpis on a shvuah. So if you're going to say isar is b'shvuah, and that's why it means it's matpis on a shvuah, the Isar is, then also you could say the same thing for Bitoy. So we're still stuck with trying to figure out where does Abaye get that Isar is Matpis B'Shvua. You have to remember, I just want to go back just so we have this clear. The Braita said Mivta Shvua and Isar Shvua, right? It said very clearly, right, Mivta Shvua and Isar Shvua. So therefore, what are they saying here? Abaye says Isar doesn't mean Isar Shvua. Isur means it's matpis b'shvua, okay? Which is weird in terms of the Braita, because the Braita seems to have it right, as if they're exactly the same. So now they're saying, well, if you're going to say the Isar is really matpis b'shvua, where are you getting this from? It seems to be the exact same thing as Bitoy in the Torah. And that we've just shown in two sets of psukim. So now they say, Ela amra baye, mivta shvua mehacha. Here's where we get that mivta is a shvua. V'im hayoti yeliish, if the woman marries a man, unidareha aleha, okay, and she has nidarim upon her, o mivtas spatea asher asral nafsha. That's what's upon her, either nidarim or mivtas spatea. Now, what's not mentioned in the pasuk? Shvua. It should have said o neder o shvua, right? So what is it? What do they assume here? V'ilu shvua lo ka'amar. So therefore, b'may asra atzma, Mivta. Obviously, the second part they assume is talking about a shvua. And how does it describe it? Mivta svateha. So there you see that mivta is shvua. So that seems very clear. And we don't have the same pasuk by Isar. Okay? And that's why they're saying that mivta must be shvua. And it's different from Isar. So we couldn't learn it from the other pasukim, but we did learn it from here. Okay? From the fact that shvua is not mentioned in that pasuk, mivta svateha is clearly in place of shvua. So that's how we know mivta is shvua and Isar is matpis. But Rava has a totally different interpretation. Rava amar, lo'olam emalacha. Rava says, really? Mitpas b'shvua lav kimotzi shvua mipiv dami. If you're matpis on a shvua, that clearly doesn't have the status of a shvua, and that's clearly not what this bright is talking about. When it says Isar is shvua, it's not saying that Isar is matpis b'shvua, because no, it actually means Isar is shvua. Okay? So now, how's he going to explain the Braita, right? Because the Braita didn't make any sense, because remember, the Braita said Mivta Shvua, Isar Shvua, and then it started to say, Isur Isar, Imata Omir Isar Shvua Chayav, Im Lav Patur. If it's a Shvua, you're Chayav. If not, you're Patur. So how's he going to explain that? Right? Remember, how did Abai explain it? If you say Matpis B'Shvua is like a Shvua, then you're going to be Chayav a Korban. And if you don't view Matpis as a Shvua, Matpis B'Shvua as a Shvua, then you're not going to be Chayav a Korban. So now we have to explain it according to Rav. So he says, Matpis Shvua lav kemotzi shvua mipi, v'hachi kamar, and this is how the Braita reads, Mivta Shvua, Isar nami Shvua. Okay? Mivta is a Shvua and Isar is a Shvua. Esareha di Isar, Asreha di Isar, hitiloa kachuv ben neder l'shvua. Okay? The Isar in the Torah was put right in between a neder and a shvua in the pasuk. Okay? Because it says, where is it? It says, sorry, where's this pasuk? Hayinu Pirush Yisrael. I forget where it is, but anyway, we'll see in a minute, I guess. Right, it's going to quote the pasuk in a minute. So, itilah katu ben yedur l'shvua. And therefore, it can go either way, which means like this. Hotziu b'lashon neder, neder. B'lashon shvua, shvua. Okay? Since it was placed in the pasuk, which we're going to ask in a second, where was it placed in between? But they're going to say that since it was placed in between neder and shvua, what does this mean? In Isar can be expressed in two different ways. In Isar can be expressed in Lashon of a Shvua, in Isar Gavra, it's forbidden to me. Or in Isar can be expressed in the Lashon of a Neder, as this Kikar is an Isar to me, right? In other words, Isar Kikar Ze'alai. So depending on how you express your Isar will determine whether or not you're Chayav a Korban. Because remember, only if it's like a Shvua, you're going to be Chayav a Korban. Otherwise, you're not going to be Chayav a Korban. So that's what it means in the second part. Hechani tilo, where do you find this in between both words, in between neder and shvua? V'im beit isha nedara, right? If she takes a neder in her husband's house, o asara isar al nafsha b'shvua. Oh, what do you see here? There's neder in the beginning, there's shvua in the end, and there's isar in the middle. Okay, so now what does the Gemara tell us? V'azdu l'tamayu. And Rav and Abai actually matched their opinions elsewhere. To Itmar, it's said about the Machloket Abai and Rava, Mat pis b'shvua, Abai amar kemotzi shvua mipiv dame. Abai says that if you're matpis on a shvua, right, then if you connect something to a shvua, right, you say, this is forbidden to me, this is, right, and then you say, I will not eat this kikar, and then you say, this kikar is forbidden to me like that one. It's like you took a shvua on that second loaf of bread. So since Abaye says it's like motzi shvua mipiv, it makes sense that the isar in the Torah that he says is forbidden, he calls an isar shvua, right? He calls that matpis b'shvua. But Rava Amar lav kemotzi shvua mipiv dami. But he thinks if you're matpis on shvua, it's not a shvua, and therefore he can't possibly read the braita as saying the isar is a shvua, and you might possibly be chayav a korban on it because he doesn't think you are. Now we're going to have a question on Rava's opinion. Meitive. Eze isar ha'amor b'Torah. What's an isar that's mentioned in the Torah? Ha'omer, harei alai shelo ochal basar v'shelo eshte yayin ki yom shemet bo aviv, ki yom shemet bo ploni, ki yom shene'arag bo gedalia ben achikam. Okay, that would be tzom gedalia. Ki yom shera'a Yerushalayim b'chor bana, asur. The Braita says, if you say, Hare alai, that I'm not, and as the Braita says, what is this Isar that the Torah forbids? It's someone who says, I will not eat meat, or I will not drink wine, like the day that my father died, like the day that somebody died, like the day that Gedaliah was killed, like the day that Yerushalayim was destroyed, Asur. And on that Braita comes Shmuel, Vamar Shmuel, V'hu shenador uba me'oto ayom. That only works if you already had taken a neder that you won't eat meat on that particular day. Okay, you say, I will never eat meat on the day my father died. I will never eat meat on the day the Gedaliah was killed. I will never eat meat on the day the Yerushalayim was destroyed. I will never eat meat on the day that so-and-so died. Okay, if you said that, and wine or whatever it is. And then you say, Hare alai shalo chal basar v'shalo eshtayayin, like that day. That's your classic matpis b'shvua. This is why it's going to be a contradiction to Rava, who said the matpis b'shvua doesn't work. Now, this case is actually matpis b'neder. It's not matpis b'shvua. You're matpis on a neder. So it's a little different because we're not talking about a shvua. Okay?
Except that if he really said that on those 4 days altogether, and then he goes like that day, he's not referring to any specific day.
No, the assumption is he said either or.
Know, but
what are you saying? The what?
No, I'm saying that if he had said that
all of them
4 days, then the Hadpasa wouldn't even catch because...
Assuming he hadn't been no dare on all of them, you're saying?
Yeah, because he said like that day and he wasn't referring to any specific day out of the four.
I see. Right. Now, the assumption here, the case is that he meant either this or that. Either one of, you know, he connected it to some day that he'd already forbidden himself in a neder. So now, according to Abaye, Bishlama la Abaye, midmatpis b'neder, neder, matpis b'shvua, shvua. So this braita, you would explain according to Abaye like this. Since this, what's this basically telling you? You can be matpis b'neder, right? So comes Abaye and says, just like you can be matpis b'neder, you can also be matpis b'shvua. Because that was Abaye's whole shita, that an isar is matpis b'shvua. Elal Rava kasha. But to Rava, it's kashe, because Rava doesn't think that you can be matpis in a shvua. So he can't say, this braita, if you can be matpis in a neder, why can't you be matpis in a shvua? Okay? Tosra raised a bit of a problem here that Rava has to agree that matpis in neder is a neder, and he says for a good reason, the Mishnah Shlemahi, because there's a Mishnah explicitly that talks about it, Misha Amar Harini Nazir, Vishama Chavirova Amar Ve'ani. Okay, that was the classic case, not the one I mentioned, but it's like that, right? And he said, and also me, okay? So he raises a bit of a question here that obviously Rava has to agree that there's matpis b'neder. But, mikomakam parach l'Rava, amayid mefarish isar dekra matpis. Ramashane delokai isar dekra. In other words, what's problematic about this, according to Rava, is not whether you can be matpis on a neder, because you can, but go back to the beginning of the braita. What did it say? Eze isar ha'amor b'torah. It said, what's the isar that it says in the Torah? And the description they give is matpis b'neder. So basically, Abaye is going to say, yes, this braita is describing matpis b'neder. Isar means matpis b'neder. And if there's isar on a shvua, it'll be matpis b'shvua. Right, and it'll get a bichai of a korban. But according to Rava, who doesn't think, and as yes, he might agree that there is such a thing as hatpasa b'neder, but he doesn't think there's such a thing as hatpasa b'shvua. And this braita, which says what's the isar shasra Torah, and it's hatpasa b'neder, that really makes no sense according to Rava, because if you can be matpis b'neder midoraita, then you should be able to be matpis b'shvua. And you know, isar should mean that. And according to Rava, isar means shvua literally, and not matpis b'shvua. So the braita is difficult. So Amar le Rava, how does Rava explain this braita? Teretz ve'emahachi. This is how you should read the braita. Ezehu isar neder ha'amor b'torah. What's the isar neder that's mentioned in the Torah? Ha'omer hare alai shelo ochal basar v'shelo eshte yayin ki yom shemei po aviv ki yom shnerag bo ploni. Okay, so now he's telling you what is a neder that's usher in the Torah, not a hatpasa. What criteria do you need to make a neder happen? Now we're going to say two things, okay? A regular neder, you would have to say, Hare alai shelo ochal basar v'shelo eshte yayin. You'd have to say, you know, he could have just said, Hare alai ki yom shemei bo aviv. But he didn't say that. What did he say? To make a neder, you'd have to express what is actually forbidden to you. You have to say those words. And secondly, and now you have to say it like this, if he's going to be tole his neder on something else, not that he has to be right, but in a case where you connect your neder to a different something, then it has to be, and that's what Shmuel comes to say, it has to be a davar ha-nadur. Okay, I didn't really talk about what that meant. It means something he already took a neder about before, as opposed to what else? Davar, what would be instead of davar ha-nadur? Davar ha-asur, something that's forbidden by the Torah. Okay, in other words, if I say I want this kikar to be forbidden to me, just like
chalev.
Right, just like chalev, that doesn't work. Okay, if you want to be toled on something, come Shmuel l'chadesh at this braita, the Shmuel's l'chadesh, and he says, it has to be davar nador, not davar asur. Okay, so in order for a neder, that you're going to connect one thing to another for it to work, you have to say, number one, what's going to be forbidden to you, and number two, you have to connect it. If again, you don't have to connect it to something, but if you're going to connect it to something, it has to be connected to davar nador, not davar asur. And that's how he explains this, and it has nothing to do with, can you be, is hatpasat neder a neder or not? And is an Isur or Hamor in the Torah, is that a hatpasat neder? No, it's not necessarily hatpasa. It's just saying, when you make a neder in Lashon of Yisar, like what do you, you know, what does it mean? Okay, how is it forbidden to you, a regular neder, basically? In order, and he translates Isar as not, Isar, this Isar we keep talking about, but it's like Isor Neder, Hamor Betoha. The forbidden nature of a Neder, how does it take place? Okay, you could see how you could use this word Isar as Isor or Isar, Lashon of a Neder. So here he understands, what's the Isor Neder, Hamor Betoha? And that's, how can you take a Neder that's forbidden? You have to say, Shaloh Habasar Shalosh Teyayin, right? And Shmuel adds, it has to be Nador Vibame Otoyom, it has to be on Devar HaNador. My time, how do we know what Shmuel says that it has to be on a neder and not an isur, something forbidden by the Torah? Amar kra, ish ki yidur neder la Hashem. Notice what it could have just said. Ish ki yidur la Hashem, right? Yidur already says you take a neder. That's what it means. So why does it add the extra word neder? Ad shi yidur b'davar nador. Okay, it has to teach you, it's teaching you that it has to be, if you're going to connect it to something else, it has to be connected to something that was taken by a neder and not by something that's forbidden to you. Okay. Kiyom shemepo aviv. Pshita. Now, why did you need to give us this example like the day his father died? That's obvious. In other words, it's obvious that's a davar nador. So now, what do they say? Well, really, they didn't need to bring this whole long list, but they brought this whole long list really for one case that was a chiddush. Kiyom shnerag bo gedalia ben achikam itzteri chale. You needed it for that, and you can imagine why. If we just said davar ha'asur, right? This is davar ha'asur. Right? Tzom Gedalia is something everyone can't eat on Tzom Gedalia. So what do they say? Salkadat hachamina, dekevan dechilo nadar nami asur, ki nadar, right, if he hadn't taken a neder, it still would have been asur for him to eat on Tzom Gedalia. So what is he added by saying, I'm taking a neder that I'm not going to eat, just like I don't eat on Tzom Gedalia? So, in other words, remember, Shmuel says, Ad shidur b'davar nador. So now it comes to teach you that he had to have taken a neder at some point that I'm not going to eat on Tzom Gedalia. So if that first neder that he took, and now we're doing a second neder, which is, I'm not going to eat just like I won't eat on Tzom Gedalia. But his first neder that he took on Tzom Gedalia, what was the point of that? It's already forbidden for him to eat. Salkadat hachamina, you might have thought, dekevan dechilo nadar nami asur, right? It would have been forbidden even if he hadn't taken the neder. Ki nadar nami lo haviale isur. B'hai lav matpis b'neder hu. Kamashmalan. You might have thought that this is not considered a neder because it was already asur to him. And therefore, this would be like davar ha'asur. And it comes to tell you that it does work. Now, there's two reasons, there's two ways of reading this. Rashi quotes a different nusach. That the way the other nusach people have in Rashi rejects it, but I'll read that nusach first. They should read like this: Ki nadar nami lo havi ale, ki nadar nami asur, ki nadar nami lo havi ale isur. I'm trying to figure out where he adds it. Right, kevan. The gears is different. It says kevan demi derabanan hu de asur, ki nadar chal ale isur b'lo yachel. Okay, he says basically that. Since Tzom Gedalia is only Isra Durabanan, therefore when you take a neder, I won't eat on Tzom Gedalia, that neder is going to be chal. Which would imply what? That if you took a neder, I'm not going to eat on Yom HaKippurim, it wouldn't be chal, right? Because a neder isn't chal on Dvar Toha, okay? Now, that Rashi says that Nusach is very problematic. Why is the Nusach problematic? Because I mentioned some differences between Shvuot and Nedarim. That Shvua is an Isur Gavra, and Neder is an Isur on the Chayfetz, on the object. And as a result, we're going to see later on, in Daf Kafhei, that a Shvua can't be Chal on something that's Asur. You can't say, I swear I won't eat on Yom Kippur. That just doesn't mean anything, because you're Mushbava Omeh Mehar Sinai. You already swore that you're not going to do that on Har Sinai, so to speak. And therefore, Ein Shvua Chal Shvua, Ein Isur Chal Isur, you can't do that. But when it comes to a neder, you actually can do that because a neder isn't on you itself, it's on the kikar. You can say this kikar has some status that the Torah didn't give it, right? And then you can make a neder. So therefore, what's bothering Rashi? In other words, in theory then, it shouldn't, what's bothering Rashi is, even if it's an Isra Mida Oraita, you can still take a neder on it because that's what it says. So how did the Girsa work that says, Isadurabanan, and implying Isra Midoraita, you couldn't. So some people are machalik between whether a neder is chal only on a mitzvah ase, but maybe not on a mitzvah lotase, because you could still say ein isur chal al isur. And if we're talking about lotase, it's like not eating on a fast, So maybe that it could be chal. So there's a bit of a debate about it. Whether this is only because it's drabanan, or even if it was d'oraita, you could still take a neder on it. So basically, that's the chidush, and that's why they gave this example of Gedaliah ben Achikam, to teach you that if he took a neder on saying, I'm not going to fast on some Gedaliah, that neder would apply. Okay, so again, for one of two reasons, either because some Gedaliah is only Yisr d'rabanan, and the only thing you can't in Yisr chal is, it would be only Yisr d'oraita, or because it's a lota, because it's a... No, or because, right, it applies, either because it's Drabanan, or even if it was Doraita, it would still apply. No, because then Neder. I'm going to spin Neder 1 second. Right, or just because we say neder is chalal, right, that would be, or just because neder is always chalal isser, we have no issue with that in general. Okay, in general, nedarim, it would work. Okay, now we're going back to Rava, and now we're going to say, va'af Rabbi Yochanan savar la'laha de Rava. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rava, d'chi'at ha-rav in am Rabbi Yochanan, mivta lo achalach, isser lo ochalach, shvua. Okay, he says... Here we go. This is what Isur is, right? Isur and Mivta are exactly the same. Isur is not Matpis B'Shvua, it's a Lashon of Shvua. Okay? And therefore, this Rabbi Yochanan supports, you know, this statement of Rabbi Yochanan supports Rava. Ki Ata Rav Dimi. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now we're going to talk about something Rav Dimi said. He brings, when he comes to Bavel, he brings the Torah of Rabbi Yochanan from Eretz Yisrael, and he says like this. Ochal velo ochal sheker. Vazharate behacha. Lo tishavu b'shmila shaker. He's now going to describe all different types of things you could say and go against. And then the question is, what would be the pasuk in the Torah that would show the forbidden nature of what you're doing? Why is that important? Because when they come to warn you and say, do you know that if you do this, you're going to get malkot or whatever it might be, or you're going to be chayav a korban, then... What are they going to have to say? They're going to have to say, right? They're going to, the truth is they would say, you're chayav malkot. If they would come and say, you know, if you do this, you're chayav malkot, then they have to quote the pasuk. What are you doing wrong? So if you take a shvua, I'm going to eat or I'm not going to eat, and then you eat or don't eat, that's called a sheker, okay? That's a lie, because you said you were going to do something and you didn't do it, right? You went against what you said. And that's called lo tishavu b'shmila shaker. There you have. Don't swear in God's name falsely. And here you took a shvua that you're not going to do something and you lied about it. Achalti v'lo achalti. If you say, I swear I ate when you really hadn't eaten, or I swear I didn't eat, you're talking about something in the past, that's shav. Right? That's what we call a shvuat shav. Because first of all, it's pointless. You already did it. It's not talking about anything in the future. It's a pointless shvua and it's a lie. Okay, we learn it from, right? Don't take God's name, don't use God's name in vain. Konamot over b'lo yechel dvaro. And if you take a neder, okay, and then you don't do what you say in the neder, then that's lo yechel dvaro. So now, first of all, there's a big debate because Shvua also comes up in that pasuk, okay? You can read the whole pasuk here if you have it in the Torah. Or it says, Ish ki yidur neder l'Hashem, o hishava shvua le'esur yisar al nafsho, lo yachel dvaro. So why are you saying lo yachel dvaro only applies to a neder and not to a shvua? So the Rambam holds basically if you do something where there's multiple psukim, you're only chayav one malkot from one thing. So he would say, well, it's true there's lo yachel dvaro by shvua, but there's a better one, which is either lo tisad shem shem lekachal shavar or lo tishavu l'shmi l'shaker. So that overrides that. The Ramban is a different approach where he holds multiple psukim, and then you have to answer the question according to him a little differently. Okay, why he doesn't say lo yachel dvaro, and maybe he says it is in addition, right? But he's basically saying that's the only thing that there is for a neder, whereas the other ones have other psukim for shvuot. Meitive. Now we're going back to the shav and sheker. So remember, shvua on the future, we're going to call that sheker. On the past, we're going to call it shav. So now the Gemara is going to question this. Meitive. Shav and sheker echadim. There's a brayta that says that shav and sheker are the same thing. My lav, how do we understand? What does it mean, echadim? Do we not mean, midashav l'shavar, af sheker na midashavar? it's a little arbitrary that we said this. It's also a lie, and a shav and a lie are kind of the same thing. So it's also a lie if I said I ate and I really hadn't eaten. That's also a lie. Why do you say that's shav? That could be sheker. And isn't that what it means when it says shav and sheker? They're the same, meaning they're interchangeable. Shav is l'shavar, about the past. Also sheker could be about the past and not just about the future. Alma, achalti v'lo achalti shekeru. Right? It could be that achalti v'lo achalti sheker, and we just said it was shav. So now they say, midi iria, hakadita v'hakadita. Now, shav and sheker really are unique. One is l'shavar, one is v'haba. Okay, future and past. But now you have to explain, umay davar achad hein, dibidibur achad ne'emru. They were said in one mouthful by God. Where do you know this, right? Kedetanya, zachor v'shamor b'dibur achad ne'emru. Right, in the Eser Mako, and the Eser Dibro, Aseret HaDibrot. There's zachor in one and shamor in the other. Likewise, it says, lo ta'ne b'recha et sheker. Right, am I quoting them right? Lo ta'ne. I'm now blanking on how the psukim go. Lo tane b'recha ed shav. I think it says lo tane b'recha ed sheker in one and lo tane b'recha ed shav. If I'm not confused about exactly the wording of the psukim, but that's what I think it is. And it's one says sheker, one says shav. Okay, just like Zachor and Shamor, this is a less known one, right? Zachor and Shamor, everybody knows. Also, mainly because we say it in Lecha Dodi every Shabbat. So now, why is Zachor v'Shamor b'dibor chad nemru? Ma she'ein yachol ha'peh l'daberu, ma she'ein yachol ha'ozen l'shmoa. Right? Now, the way humans can't do that, your mouth can't speak the same word at the same, two different words at the same time, and your ears can't actually hear those two things at the same time. So, bishlama hatam b'dibor achad ne'emru, k'drava d'barava. And as we understand why it says, b'dibor achad ne'emru by zachor and shamor. Like Rav Adabarava, Dam Rav Adabarava, Nashim Chayavot B'Kiddush Hayom, Dvar Torah. Here's a really interesting ramification of Zachor and Shemor B'Dibor Achad Ne'emru. Nashim Chayavot in Kiddush, from the Torah. How do we know this? Damar Kra, Zachor V'Shamor. Koshe Yeshno B'Shmira, Yeshno B'Schira. Because it says Zachor and Shemor, they were said at the same time. What do we learn from here? Anyone who's Chayav in Shmira, which means not doing all the malachas, and women are clearly can't be violate the malachot of Shabbat. Yesh no bischira. They also have to do the schira of Shabbat. And what's that? Right, that's Shabbat. I'm sorry, that's Kiddush. Vahane na sheho il v'inu b'shmira. Since women are chayav in shmira, inu lami bischira. Okay, they're also chayav in Kiddush. And this is why a woman, in theory, can be motzi a man in Kiddush. Some of the Leyum Mefarshim say it's zila milta, it's not appropriate, it's, you know. And that's because women in those days couldn't. The only time a woman would make kiddush is if the man wouldn't be able to make kiddush. But in theory, a woman can make kiddush and be motzi a man without an issue. And that comes from here. Because their chiyuv is at the same level. You always have an issue if the chiyuv is at a different level. But here this shows their chiyuv is exactly the same level. Ela, hacha lama hilchata mibayel, lama hilchata. But sheker and shav being the same, what halachic ramification is there? In other words, we understand why you said zachor and shamor b'dibor achad. There's a halachic ramification, and that's for women in kiddush. But sheker and shav being said in the same dibor, what do you learn from here? Mibaile, you need it for this. Ela kashem shaloke al shav, kach loke nami al sheker. Just like you get malkot on shav. Okay, lo tanei b'recha, I'm sorry, lo tisa Hashem Hashem l'kecha l'shav, you get malkot on that. If you say, I swear I didn't eat something, normally you wouldn't get malkot on that, right? Because it's a lav she'en bo maaseh. It's just speech. But they were mechadesh, and why is that? If you remember, it says, lo yinakeh Hashem. And they darshin, Hashem hu de lo yinakeh. Aval beit din shalmata, and you will never, if you use God's name in vain, God will never clean your slate. But the beit din can. Darshin, you can't, but the beit din can. So just like your locale shav, you also were locale al sheker. So now, what case of sheker are you locale on? By the way, you're not locale on every case of sheker. You're locale on a case where you say, I swear I won't eat, and you eat, because you have an action to locale you on. But if you say, I swear I will eat, and you don't eat, you actually don't get malkot on that. So the Gemara therefore questions and says, klape laya, it should be the opposite. Ela ema, kishem shalokale al sheker, just like your locale sheker, kach lokenami al shav. You should say it the opposite. Just like you get malkot on, because what's the more obvious one you get malkot on? Sheker, because there's actually a maaseh. And the chidush is, not only do you loke on sheker where there's a maaseh, but you even are loke on shav where there's no maaseh and it's just dibur, it's just your speech. So now the Gemara says, pshita. So they say, but that's obvious. In other words, what do you mean? And what were we trying to say a minute ago? We want to say the more obvious one, and we're going to let out the less obvious. So the more obvious was sheker, because it's got a maaseh. But now they say, no, but we have a drasha. Ki lo yinakeh Hashem, which means lo yinakeh Hashem, but the beitin is minakeh, meaning the beitin can obviously come and punish you for this, meaning that shav is the more obvious one because of this drasha. High lav, many take out the words high lava, high lava, so I'm not going to read it. So pshita, isn't it obvious? So they say, no, ma'u detema kida amar le rav papa la baye, lo yinake klal, kam mashmalan kidishan ele. No, because even though we have this drasha, lo yinake Hashem, but the beitin can be minake, rav papa said to abaye, we're going to see it later on, I think it's in the next daf, in kafalef, that rav papa says to abaye, maybe it means lo yinake Hashem and no one can help clean your slate, meaning even the beitin can't punish you. Because you might have thought that that's the case, kamash malan, therefore it teaches you what? That just like your lokal sheker, because there is a maaseh, likewise you're going to be lokal shav, even though there's no maaseh. And that's because of this drashav, kilo yinak Hashem, but you might have not thought that we darshan it that way, and you might have thought, oh, even the beitin can't be minakef, Hashem can't be, even the beitin can't be, no. It means Loyinak Hashem, but the Beitin can. The Beitin is allowed to punish you to help you get repentance for this. And that just goes back to explain what we meant by Sheker and Shav are the same. Remember, that's how we started. Sheker and Shav are the same meaning. They were both said B'dibur Achad, which comes to teach you this unique halacha that you're going to get Malkot on both of them. Again, remember, you don't get Malkot on Sheker if there's no Maaseh. You only get Malkot on Shav if there's no Maaseh, and that's because of that special drasha. But the sheker you're only going to get when you actually eat when you said you weren't going to eat, but not if you don't eat when you said you were going to eat. Okay? And going back to where we started, then you still can say sheker v'shav achadim doesn't mean that they have different azharot. Now, one is, right, and one is lahaba and one is l'shavar. That we stay with from what we started in the beginning. And one is mishum lo tshavu b'shavu l'shaker, and one is mishum lo tshavu b'shavu l'shaker.